Welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood, episode 123. My guest today is the star of CBS's Life in Pieces, Angelique Cabral. You guys, she's a new mom, and she is getting really honest and opening up about what life has been like over the past 3 months since she had her baby girl. Here we go.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey everyone, how was your Thanksgiving? I hope you had a wonderful holiday eating lots of turkey and pie and whatnot. We had a really lovely time. I got a cold last week, which of course is pretty epic. That always seems to happen to me once a year. I get like a really nasty cold, and it's always at like the worst time. But anyway, despite that, I still managed to pull together a kick-ass Thanksgiving meal, and we all totally pigged out. It's so funny how months and months of preparation, well, for some people months, maybe days and days of preparation, go into your Thanksgiving and holiday meal, and then it's like over 20 minutes. You're like, yay, we're gonna eat, and then you're done. So we totally pigged out, and then we relaxed. We went for a hike. I know. I can't believe I went for a hike. I'm letting Chris talk me into doing more hiking because he and Channing go every week, usually on the weekends, and they have so much fun together. She loves it. She loved it so much, she even asked me for some hiking boots. So I kind of felt like I was missing out on stuff because it wasn't really, hiking is so not my jam. So I decided to try to start going with them to A, get healthier, but also mostly spend time with them. And we went on this like 4 mile hike. It wasn't really a hike. It was more like a walk, but it was like a 4 mile trail. And I was like, Chris, what the hell? Like, I thought it was only going to be like a mile, but whatever. But it was a lot of fun and it was very relaxing. I didn't really go on Instagram. I didn't do any social media. I mean, I always do social media, but I tried to stay off of it as much as I could and just enjoyed the holiday. And I realized I'm a huge fan of that, and it's something I'm going to try to start doing more in my life, just disconnecting whenever I can. And it's hard because in Hollywood and in the mommy sphere of Instagramming and, you know, my blog and all of that stuff, you feel a pressure to kind of always be posting, always have the latest and greatest outfit or toys or coolest experience, you know, and quite honestly, it's exhausting. There's some moms here in LA who really do that well, and I am not one of those. I am not one of those moms. I get tired and I'm like, I don't feel like posting anything. And I'm allowing myself to do that. That's the difference, I should say, is I'm allowing myself to take a day or two off of the social media. And I encourage you to do that too around this time of year. All right. So that's what we did. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving too. And I'm looking forward to Christmas. We put our tree up. Our Elf on a Shelf is out. Sparkly Star is out. And you guys, the pure joy of seeing my 4-year-old wake up in the morning and try to find out where the elf has flown during the night is magic. It's magic. Like, so whoever invented Elf on a Shelf is such a smart, clever person and clearly knows what kids love. So I may have bought the elf some different outfits, and I'm super excited to have her like do some wardrobe changes this year. And I'm loving it. Like, I was telling Chris, I was like, this is the first time that we've put our tree up as early as we have. We used to, pre-Channing days, we used to put it up like the week before Christmas, but things are different when you have a kid. You suddenly see things, you see Christmas again in like a more meaningful way, a more special way. And I get it now. I get why moms get so excited about Christmas. I get the joy of hanging your decorations and picking out special ornaments and all this stuff. It just all takes on new meaning. But Anyway, well, I'm trying not to get too sappy. I'm trying not to get too emosh. But it happens. All right, let's get to my guest today, Angelique Cabral. She is on CBS's Life in Pieces. She was also on a show called Enlisted. She's actually worked quite a bit, and I was so excited to talk with her because she's a brand new mom. And my friend Olivia from Goo Goo Guru helped her with her baby registry, and she picked out some really cool things that she loved for her baby nursery and all of that. And she connected us, and I was so excited to talk with her because, you know, she's actively starring on a major network show, just had a baby, and like went back to work right away. And I was like, how did you do that? How are you doing that? And you guys are going to love what she says because she's very honest about it. She's very honest in her response. And she also talks about something that all moms can relate to, and that's mom guilt. Who hasn't at some point felt super guilty about something? You're either not with your kids enough, you're with your kids too much, or you're missing out on work, you miss your friends, you feel guilty because you didn't have dinner on the table. You know, it's like it's something we all do to ourselves, and we just feel guilty all the time. And well, maybe not all the time, but we put this extra pressure and of feeling guilt. And I really, really love what Angelique has to say. And I love her story too. And I think you guys are going to as well. So I'm going to wrap up my mommy monologue and let you hear the interview I did with Angelique Cabral. So we have a new mama on the show today. Angelique Cabral, who stars in Life in Pieces, is with me today. Hi.
Hi.
This is such a treat. I have been stalking you, aka doing research, over the past week or so.
I love stalkers. That's great.
I know, right? Now you're like, I have second thoughts about this interview. I do my research, and then I realize like just how excited I am to talk to people. And for you, I was looking at some of your pictures because I know you just gave birth like 8 weeks ago.
She's now actually 10 weeks, exactly 10 weeks. Okay. Yeah.
And you and I have the same thumbs up picture post birth.
We do? Oh yes. My God.
We're I did it. Friends. I was like, I'm such a dork. And my friends were like, why are you doing that? And I was like, because I just had a baby.
It's amazing. I know. And it was weird. We didn't like plan that. It just kind of like happened. And then we were like, is that dumb? But no. I was so like high on drugs. And I was like, I don't know. It's fine. I was, just, you know, you're so emo and there's so much going on.
Oh my God. Totally. Speaking of, so it's been 10 weeks. How are you feeling? Like this is your first baby. Tell me a little bit about all that.
Well, you know, my first baby, I'm 38. So I'm, you know, I don't feel like I'm bouncing back maybe as quickly as some of my younger friends who had kids. Mm-hmm. I also had a C-section. I had a thing called placenta previa, which I don't know if any of your listeners know about or whatever, but it's basically like my placenta was blocking my cervix. So I had to have a scheduled C-section, and I was not excited about that. Mm-hmm. Mostly because of the recovery of the C-section. And I was right. It's rough.
It's terrible.
Rough.
Yeah.
It's pretty terrible. And there was a lot that I did not know, or I did not know to expect. Like the bloating, and I didn't have an easy pregnancy. It was super easy. It was amazing. I didn't get swollen. I gained probably like 30 pounds, 35 pounds, and I felt great. I worked out. And then the recovery really kicked my ass, man.
Yeah.
And, I am just now, to be honest with you, 10 weeks in, feeling more myself. I think I started feeling better around 7 weeks.
Yeah.
I had to go back to shooting at 3.5 weeks. So they gave me 3 episodes off, which pre-baby, I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. That's all I need. Once I had that C-section, though, and I was home, I mean, I was shuffling around. I could barely walk 3.5 weeks in. Like, I was still very, very tender and hormonal and emotional and exhausted and not feeling my best. So I think because I had to go back to work very quickly, I forced myself to like get it together. But when all said and done, I look back, I really wasn't feeling great until recently, like real recently. So I'm feeling okay now.
C-sections are no joke. And that was another part of your story that I could totally relate to, because I had not planned on a C-section either and had to have a last minute It wasn't really an emergency C-section, but it certainly wasn't planned.
Right.
So it rocked my world as well. I didn't know just how painful it was going to be and how much it was going to knock me out. So, I completely understand that and can relate to that as well.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, I have heard that like a scheduled C-section is better and easier than an unscheduled one. Mm-hmm. Like when it's an emergency, because usually you've labored and you're then recovering from both like vaginal and C-section. So, you know, this was pretty easy. I went in at 5 a.m. I went into the surgery at like 7:15. She was out at like 8. Like it was so easy and quick, but it still like throws you for a loop afterwards.
Did you feel any sort of like disappointment or loss that you didn't get to do a vaginal birth? Because I know I was super upset about that. Like I felt like I had just like let myself down and, you know.
I know it was a really strange reaction when I was told I was gonna, first of all, when I was told I had placenta previa, they caught it kind of late. Mm. So I was like, oh, I'll be fine. It'll move. And I was like completely convinced that it was going to move. When we had our tour of Cedars, I didn't even like look at the surgery rooms, 'cause I was like, no, it's going to be fine. I'm going to have a vaginal birth. Like I was in complete denial.
Oh, gosh.
And once I got to 32 weeks and the placenta still was blocking my cervix and they said, you have to have the C-section, I was devastated, bawling. Very similar to you. I just felt like I was letting my baby down. Mm. I wasn't having the full experience as a mother. I was a fake. I mean, all of the things. Like there was self-loathing. There was disappointment, like for my baby. There was just all sorts of things. Then also, I had to have when you have placenta previa, you have to have your baby early usually. So I didn't even go full 40 weeks. I went 38 weeks, which is still considered full term. Mm-hmm. I think my doctor said after 36 or 37, the baby's fine. Mm-hmm. But to me, I loved being pregnant. I loved feeling her. I loved that connection. So I was actually more emotional about terminating my pregnancy early, mm-hmm, rather than anything. Like I just didn't want to like have her outside of me that quickly.
Isn't that funny how you bond with that little person inside of you so quickly?
So quickly. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, once you meet her, you're like, why would I ever want you inside when you can be outside, right? So then that part changed pretty quickly. And it's weird. I don't even really remember being pregnant. I can't remember what it really felt like. The first couple weeks I had phantom kicks inside me still, but like now it's been a minute. So I kind of don't, mm-hmm, remember that as much. But I'm hoping to have another child and I'm hoping to have a vaginal, like a VBAC. Mm-hmm. That's my hope and plan. Mm-hmm. But listen, I have a ton of friends who have kids and I have not had very many friends that have enjoyed their vaginal births. Like it's been real rough and like the recovery from that is pretty bad too. It's pretty gnarly with like hemorrhoids and tearing and all of that. So I don't think that there's an easy way. I think that it is what it is. And my chiropractor, Dr. Berlin, who was helping me try to move my placenta, was like, stop thinking about the C-section as a problem because your baby can feel that and hear that. So you need to bless it and just say, I'm giving birth to you out of my tummy. Like I'm 6 inches above my vagina. I'm giving birth out of my abdomen and it's going to be a beautiful birth and I'm still giving birth. And to kind of embrace that. And once he said that, it kind of clicked and it changed for me. And I embraced my C-section and I had a doula, Rebecca Beninati, who helped me prepare for that C-section, just like about vaginal birth. Like I had my mantras playing in the room. I had like as low lights as they could. There was no side talking. And I got the skin to skin right away. It's called like a gentle C-section. They say now, I don't know. That's like the new term, I guess, but it was beautiful. And I felt, by the end of it, I felt like it was just my experience. That's my birth story. It's Adelaide's. Mm-hmm. It was her way of coming in. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think ultimately we as moms have to stop being so hard on ourselves when things don't always go as we planned or we think they should go. Because I know
right
here in LA especially is something, because this is not where I'm from originally. I'm originally from Oklahoma. Right. And here in LA, there is such tremendous pressure to have a natural birth, to have, you know, all of these like steps that supposedly will the only way to give your baby the most healthy and productive start in life. And right. I'm like, that can't be the only way, you know, like there's so many women who have different stories, childbirth stories, and have beautiful, wonderful, happy children as a result, you know, so
totally.
I think being so hard on ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that in LA, there's a lot of pressure to like have the best and do the best and yeah. do this perfect thing. And like you said, I think that it's also just like our climate that we live in here and like the industry. And it's actually no one's business, to be honest with you. Like, it's your own personal thing. And like, there was a point where I just didn't want to talk about it with anyone. It's like none of your business how I'm having my baby, mm-hmm. why I'm having her that way, if I'm breastfeeding or not. Like, people are so nosy, and it's like, well, it's like this competition right away. And
oh, absolutely.
And I feel so judged.
As a celebrity and someone who is in the spotlight, there's probably even more pressure because you've got fans that want to know, there's media right. outlets, podcasters, who are all up in your business.
Those damn podcasters. Well, let me tell you, like, you know, part of how I am on social media, that's just who I am. Like, I'm very honest. I don't pretend to be anything. I'm not perfect. Like, I'm not this skinny little person that like doesn't eat or whatever, right? I'm like this normal person. And my stories, my Insta stories, which I have a very large following at this point for whatever reason, people I think like that I'm very real and I talk about motherhood in a very real way. And part of it is like, I just tell you how it's working for me. Like, I don't care if you don't like it, then swipe. Like, you don't have to listen to me. I don't know anything. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you like the tools and the things and the items and the, you know, baby stuff that I'm and the mommy stuff that I find is working for me. And it's making my experience better and easier and more fun. And we're all in this together. It's a shit show from day one. It's not easy. We're basically just trying to do our best every day. And what I hope and I feel a little bit with my followers is that, like, even if you don't agree with my methods or whatever, you're still understanding and supporting that I'm a new mom and I'm just doing my best. And I think that's like ultimately what I hope for most moms, that you just like have support from your other mommy friends and people in your world, even if you don't agree with your scheduling methods or your co-sleeping or whatever it is that you're doing, mm-hmm. right? You just kind of drop the judgment and embrace that we're just trying to do our best.
I would love to know what it was like for you. You mentioned you had to go back to work 3 weeks after giving birth. That is unusual in that most women get 6 weeks maternity leave and sometimes 8 weeks if you've had a C-section.
Right.
Why was it different for you? Why did you have to go back to work so soon?
Well, I'm on a show called Life in Pieces on mm-hmm. CBS. We're in our third season. Mm-hmm. And my show is amazing. It's run by amazing family-friendly people. They all have kids. Everyone understands and supports that. What was interesting about my situation, though, is I was pregnant. I was 4 months pregnant at the end of season two. And then we had a 5-month hiatus. And I come back for season three and I'm literally 9.5 months pregnant. Like, I'm due within 2 weeks of starting back to work. Okay. Wow. So like, I'm huge. They have to hide me. They have to cover. And part of what happened is my C-section was scheduled. It changed. The dates changed. So basically they pre-write our episodes like several almost months ahead, right? So mm-hmm. everything's kind of scheduled and planned. And the date of Adelaide's birth changed. And so they did end up giving me an extra episode off, and we had a hiatus week. So it ended up being 3 full episodes off plus a hiatus week, which is just like a vacation week. So I started back on set after 4 weeks, but the third week of my maternity leave, we had a gallery shoot. I had a table read and a bunch of press because we were also premiering. So I think that for many different reasons, like I had to go back to work because I'm contracted. Mm-hmm. A, B, in our business, if you ask for time off, like if you ask for certain episodes off, this is what my lawyer told me, technically do not have to pay you. Like, if they decide to write you out, then I get paid for everything, which they did. And I'm very lucky. And CBS is so supportive and I have the best bosses. Like, they totally wrote me out, no problems, and I get paid for all of my missed episodes. But if I then go back and say, but I also want like an extra 3 weeks off, technically, although I don't think this would happen, but technically they don't have to pay you for those episodes. You've requested that time off. So I did not rock the boat, and you know, I played nice. I'm a woman in Hollywood. I'm not the lead of the show. It's an ensemble show. I also know that I don't work 5 days a week. We work like 2 to 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And they were going to write for me like a little bit easier, which they actually didn't. My first episode back was like very long and involved. But, you know, I'm a first-time mom. I didn't know. I kind of didn't know what to ask. And I didn't have like a bunch of people to ask for advice. I did get some good advice from Shonda Rhimes, actually, who was like, ask for what you need and hire your nanny or your helper, whoever's going to help you on set, way before the baby comes, so that they can come to your house and you're familiar with them before you have to go back to work, which I did. And that was a huge blessing that she gave me that advice. And I don't know. I think that it's a double-edged sword. I'm blessed to have a job, and I know it's really hard to be a new mom in Hollywood and not have a job and be trying to audition and get a job. That would be a nightmare. So to me, I'm pretty hardcore. I don't complain a lot. I just kind of like sucked it up. I put my girdle on and like my pads and like went back to work as I was leaking and bleeding. And I'm not gonna lie to you. I cried in my trailer. I'm super hormonal. It was very hard. I felt very out of sorts. For all of you moms listening, you know, the first couple of weeks when you're home and you're like in this nesting thing where it's just you and the baby and you're in your pajamas and you're just
I can cry
just talking about it. Yeah. Like you're just like, you're so overwhelmed with love and hormones and feelings to then have to go out into the world and be, even though I know people weren't judging me, but to be looked at.
Yeah.
And you know, have to be pretty and have to be funny and have to be on.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. It was really hard. And I don't think I was like emotionally ready for like people to look at me. And I look fuller. I'm just like more voluptuous. I'm probably 15, 20 pounds away from like where I was season one, you know, like that's just a hard thing. And
are you feeling any pressure for it to lose that weight or?
I have a great wardrobe team. So they, you know, they cover me with big purses. They give me big jackets. I'm not feeling pressure other than from myself, you know, and as I'm breastfeeding and being more active and I'm just now cleared to exercise at 10 weeks, I'm hiking. I'm definitely, the weight's coming off. I went shopping and I bought like some jeans that are a couple of size bigger just so I can like wear jeans again and not feel like not judging myself that I don't fit into my skinny jeans yet, you know?
Sure.
I think there is a little bit of pressure to like, look a certain way. And I have friends who just had babies too, and they are so skinny. Like the weight just came off of them and they're just smaller people. I'm like half Mexican. Like I definitely I'm curvy. I have big tits. I have like a kind of a butt, you know, like I'm just not a little skinny waif girl. So that's just not my story.
I think what is so wonderful to hear about all of this is there is a huge idea or an idea, I guess it's maybe it's, you know, perpetuated by social media, that moms in Hollywood have this staff of people waiting on their beck and call. They have, you know, a wardrobe team, nannies, night nurse, you know, all this stuff. And maybe some people do. But for me, what I love about that and what I get a lot of questions of from my friends who are working actors, who are going on auditions, who are booking roles every now and then and scrambling to find childcare, is that you are going through the same emotional and frustrations and struggles that we all do. Like we're all women, we're all moms, and we're all trying to make our dreams come true and follow our career goals and that sort of thing. But it's not all glamorous.
It's not all glamorous. And I will say, I was a nanny in New York for about 6 years. So I like know what it is to be a nanny, and I know how important it is for women who go back to work. So I knew from the beginning when I had this show and I wanted to get pregnant that I was going to have to hire some help. I got very lucky. I have an amazing woman named Donnie who helps me with Adelaide, and she comes to set with me. But I will say, and I saw this with my own bosses when I was back in my 20s in New York being a nanny, there's a different struggle with working moms where I feel guilty all the time. I feel like I'm not being a good enough mom, like I need to be more present. And then all the time that I am with Adelaide, I feel like I have to be on and like being this perfect mom and like reading and making sure she's standing and is she following my finger? Like there's no kind of downtime because I'm away from her quite a bit. So I feel very pressured to be this like perfect mom when I am with her. Mm-hmm. And then for those of you who know what a night nurse is, I don't know who your listeners are, but there's these women that call night nurses who come to your house at night so that you can sleep and they take care of the baby at night. And I had to hire that mm-hmm. right away because I knew I was going back to work. I have a sleep schedule that I wanted to follow and she's amazing. Adelaide is a great sleeper, but the bottom line is that I needed to sleep in order to be awake and able to say lines and like make people laugh. I need sleep. So she comes four nights a week. And that is another like source of complete guilt for me. Like not only is it expensive and I'm at a place in my life now where yes, I have some extra money, but like I'm not from money. So I'm like super frugal and I'm not used to spending money. So like every night that she's here, I'm like counting the hours and like counting how much it's costing me. So like for the first week I couldn't even sleep because I was like, are you kidding me? This is all of my money. But also I'm like, you know, those precious hours at night, like when you wake the baby up to feed and it's just you and her in the nursery, like I did that for the first 2 or 3 weeks, but then I haven't really done that very much since, except for on the weekends. And I miss that. Like, mm-hmm. again, these are fleeting times. It goes really fast. Everyone tells you that your baby grows up before you know it. And I struggle with that every day when her name is Eka. Every day when Eka comes, I'm like, should I be doing this? Like, what is wrong with me? It makes me almost feel like a failure, to be honest with you. So no, it's not glamorous. It's like, yeah, you have the help. Yeah, you have, you know, you're in the situation that you can hire people. And I do have a great team around me and it's amazing, but I actually want to do it all myself. But if I did it all myself, then I couldn't do my job and I wouldn't have the money to pay for all these people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a catch-22.
It's a real double-edged sword. Yeah. And I cry about that a lot. Like it really bothers me. And like, we're about to go away for the holiday and I'm going away for Christmas with no help. And I'm like, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also like scared shitless. Like, can I do this? Like, it's good. Am I allowed to swear? I've sworn a couple times.
You totally can. I swear all the time.
Okay. So anyway, yes, it's not glamorous. And I think at the bottom, you know, the kind of the I don't even know. I can't, of course, mommy brain. The thing that puts it, we're all like the leveling, the playing field that makes us all level. Is that, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Is basically that we're all moms. We're doing our best and we're all tired and emotional and some people can have help, but then there's a whole other thing of problems that come with that. That's the bottom line.
Right. Moms are so hard on ourselves. I think we are more hard on ourselves than other people are.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, we don't want to mess up our kids. Like we want to, you know, like there's that feeling of like, I don't want to put her on the wrong path or like not bond with her. And then she doesn't like me.
Right.
And like, you know, we get in our own way a little bit. Sometimes,
but I will
too,
say, I try to get out of my way on that because I have a lot of friends. There's a group of us that there's like 9 of us that just had kids. And many of these moms are like organic and this, and oh my God, like this has this in it. And I am not that mom. Like,
me neither.
I use Dreft. I, like, let dogs lick her. Like, we have a dog named Oscar. Like, if you have please wash your hands. But I'm not weird. Like, I took her out in public. And she has never gotten sick. She is 10 weeks old. She is in the 75th percentile. She's doing great. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not like that. I don't know. Like, I just think there's, like, other things to worry about than what's in every single thing. And I was raised with like Johnson & Johnson and I've never really had any health issues my whole life. And I'm so grateful for that. So I just don't want my daughter to be like so protected that she's then this like crazy kid that like can't be around peanuts or something. Like
right.
I read this book called Bringing Up Bebe and it's kind of how I'm raising her, which is like,
is that the French book? Like how
the French
way?
Book,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was a French major in school and I have a lot of French friends and I just love how their children are not spoiled mm-hmm. and they know to wait. It's
They're
called
like,
attend. Like you make them wait. Mm-hmm. Like you don't jump at them. Even from the beginning when you hear them fuss in the crib, you don't run in there. Like let them hang out for a second. You know that their diaper's clean. They just ate or whatever it is. Like they can wait a second. You don't have to run in there. Teach them to wait. Teach them to be patient.
Self-soothe.
Yeah. And then when it comes to food and you know, once they're 6 months or whatever and they start eating food, like, give them everything. They should be eating everything that you eat. And this myth of like, my baby only eats like mac and cheese and chicken nuggets and french fries. Well, that's because that's all you've given them. So like, if you start feeding them what you eat from the beginning and don't give them a choice, and the French say you have to try like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
You have to try. Like, there's no baby that is born just liking chicken nuggets. That's like not a thing. Like, you have to like introduce them to all sorts of foods so that they can, and then also not be allergic to them. Right. So,
right.
But again, that's like a thing that probably people will disagree with me, and all of your listeners are going to be like, who's this bitch? Like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But listen, let's have another session when she's eating in 6 months, and then we'll talk it out.
And then we'll talk it out, and I'll be like, how's that going? have you made mac and cheese yet?
I'm like, well, she only eats Domino's.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. That's all I eat, though. I eat a lot of Domino's.
A lot of pizza. I would love to know, were you at all worried about having your kid? Were you worried at all about your job on your show? Were you hesitant to have a baby?
You mean just to bring the baby to set or to
No,
have
like
a baby?
To have a baby. In like, general. I know you were working on a show, and I know that there's...
For sure. For sure.
Some hesitation for women who are like, well, it might ruin my career if I have kids.
I think I was... There was a glimpse of that, like, early on. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Everything so far that has given me success is going out the window. Like, I have been this one thing for all of these years in Hollywood, and I've been kicking around in LA anyway for about 6 years. And then I was in New York for a couple of years before that, auditioning and stuff. So, like, you know, I'm real happy to have such a solid job. And there's definitely a little bit of fear of, like, is this all going to go away? Mm-hmm. But part of what I meditate a lot, and I do a lot of, like, basically, for lack of a better word, like, it's like law of attraction, like positive thinking, like what you get is what you think about is what you get. So I quickly stopped that. And I was like, I'm not going to have fear around my baby. Like, my baby's going to bring blessings. It's going to be what it is. And things change, and I'm ready for a change. Mm-hmm. And so far, if anything, I actually feel like it's making me a better actor, because I don't have time to spiral and freak out about, like, my lines and my delivery and, like, what do they think of me? I literally breastfeed and learn my lines as I'm walking to set. And all I care about is getting back to my trailer to be with the baby. So there's a shift in my energy and a shift in, like, what I care about. And I also, bigger picture, it's motivating me to, I pitched a show last season, and I'm going to start pitching again, because it's motivating me to be like this badass mom that, like, runs Hollywood. Not really, but, like, I want to do more. Like,
I'm right
there with
you.
I love having a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I love it. It's amazing. But, like, what's next? And can I create my own content? And how can I be taken more seriously as a woman in Hollywood? And how can I use my motherhood to do better things and inspire my daughter? Like, I'm kind of thinking, like, bigger picture. Like, I want her to be so proud of me in 10 to 15 years when she understands, like, how hard it is to be a woman in this industry. So
I totally understand that. Yeah. That's the whole reason why I started Motherhood in Hollywood, is because I was like, I need to have something. I wanted to show something that my daughter could be proud of, because I was tired of waiting between auditions, and I didn't want to just be sitting around. And so I was like, I need to create something. And that's sort of where this all came from. So I totally understand
that. I love
it.
It's such a great idea. I'm so proud of you. Good job.
Thanks.
Great.
Thank you. Well, I know you have to run, but I am honestly just so grateful for your time and for your honesty. And I think that it is going to resonate with a lot of women who listen to the show, and men too. So I think there's
good. I hope so.
I think there's one guy that listens to my show. No.
I'm so excited to talk with you. And it's been, it's just been lovely to share my experiences. And I hope to come back once I'm a little further in. Like, she's only 2.5 months. So
yes, you definitely have to come back.
I'm excited to see how it goes.
And see how things have changed.
Everybody,
you can see Angelique on CBS's Life in Pieces.
We're on Thursday nights at 9:30 after Mom.
Amazing.
So, check us out.
And I'm going to put up information about her show, and as well as where you can follow her on social media on motherhoodinhollywood.com. That's it for me. You guys have an amazing week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. balls.